You're listening to the Fearless Kitchen Podcast. And now it's time to join your host, Vanessa Baxter.
Hey there, welcome to another episode of the Fearless Kitchen brought to you by worldpodcast.com. As you know, I recently had a fantastic trip to Singapore, and one of the things that I did whilst I was there was just start wandering, as I love to do, to find original and dynamic, cool foodie spots. And one of those spots that I found was up on Dempsey Hill. Now, I used to live in Singapore and very close to Dempsey Hill, and boy, has it changed. And one of the top spots that I found while I was there this time is incredibly new. And it's this amazing all-round experience, and it's called Como Dempsey. There are various little sections of it. It's like a lifestyle destination. There's fashion and there's food and there's design and there's a retail concept store with really cool produce, and then there's a Japanese spot to eat a little teppanyaki bar, and then there is the old Singapore Nyonya cuisine that you can eat. There's a really cool kind of bistro, and then there is a really kind of special Como cuisine, contemporary kind of elegant spot to dine as well. It's really, really amazing, and it's a really classic little space to go. So while I was in there, I was chatting away with the barman, and the next thing I know, they were really intrigued with me and intrigued with my podcast microphones that I took out of my bag, and fantastically and luckily for me, brought the chef out from the kitchen, and I was able to interview him, and he was able to tell me all about his journey and how he ended up being the chef at the Dempsey Cookhouse and Bar, and how the entire menu has been built around the world-renowned food of Chef Jean-Georges. And I'm not going to try to say his surname because it is really, really complicated when your primary language is English. Anyway, I shall let the interview speak for itself. So bear with me, because like open kitchens are ever evolving, so is this interview ever evolving. And we move from an interview with the chef at the Dempsey Cookhouse and Bar. Then we move on to an interview with the bartender, who talks to me all about the different bitters that he's using at the bar. And then I'm going to take you to the most amazing and awesome spot, the Mozzarella Bar in Singapore as well, where I'm joined by the owner of this bar, where they have imported all the most amazing mozzarellas into Singapore. And he shares with us the journey of the restaurant, the artisan cheeses that they bring in, all the different ways they deal with the mozzarella. And you'll love it. You may not love it. You may regret that I was sitting there eating all these divine cheeses and that you are not, and you have to listen to it. But it really is gorgeous. So this interview will take you to three different places in your tummy and in your mind, and I hope that you thoroughly enjoy it. Thanks so much for listening, and I look forward to sharing with you again next time we're on air. I'll take what's good. I'm Vanessa, and I've just wandered in here because I actually just interviewed Sasha, who is a distributor of fine foods into Singapore, like salmon and lamb and stuff. And she told me, you've got to go up the hill and find Como. So that's how I wandered in.
All right.
And I believe it's only 6 months old.
Yeah, 6 months. So we're still, it's a pretty new restaurant, but I think so far very good. You know, we're very busy. We've been experienced maybe a little bit slower period now, but it's a summer holiday. But still, you know, weekends very good. It's maybe between Mondays and Wednesdays, a little bit slower, but still good. But now we feel like it's starting to pick up, and it's very, yeah, it's very exciting.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, you've got the whole building here, and the building across the road is also part of the same group. Is that correct?
Or yeah. So there is four outlets in total, three in this big house. And then we have Como Cuisine next door, which is the food concept based on the Como hotels. So it's a little bit more, compared to this concept here, the cookhouse concept, it's more clean food.
Over the road.
Yeah.
So more kind of fine, would you say fine?
More like to the more
Como Hotel standard.
Yeah. So very healthy, healthy food, clean. So some raw items as well.
Okay.
I don't know too, like, 100% about the whole concept, because basically I'm, of course, focusing more on this. But
yes.
But it looks very good.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So you're the head chef for in here?
Yeah.
Yes. And where are you from?
I'm from Sweden, Stockholm, Sweden.
And how long have you been in Singapore?
I've been here for almost 6 months now. I came 2 days before the big opening here. So it was a little bit of a
culture shock.
not so much culture. The heat. I would say.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally.
The heat. I would say. But Singapore is a very easy place to live.
That's true.
And I've been, you know, very well taken care of. So I'm very excited for what's to come. You know.
So you've come out for the job.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've spent 6 months pretty much starting this restaurant up and getting it organized for them and opening.
Yeah.
Wow. So what is the philosophy around the food in here? I mean, I noticed there's obviously Japanese down that end.
Yeah. And then it's a local Peranakan concept the first place.
So heritage style food, Nona cuisine, is it?
It's local, local food, very nice. And then we got the tempura place.
Yep.
And then here, of course, it's the, you know, Sean York's, concept and his food. It's a little bit, I think we have dishes from a little bit all around. So we got he got a few other places in Asia, and of course he got plenty of places in the US. It's based on Sean York's dishes. So we have we'll see what we do in the future, but maybe we'll try to do, you know, Sean York's touch, but maybe a little bit more local as well. But it got to be, still, it got to be something that represents Sean York.
Yeah, okay. Have you traveled around Asia before you came out to this job?
I've been twice in Thailand before. So I've been in Asia, but never worked.
Okay, just enjoyed it.
Just enjoyed, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully you'll get some time off from the kitchen occasionally to be able to travel out of Singapore and enjoy some of the other local countries that are close by.
Yeah.
Sort of a bit of a joy of Singapore that it's so close to everything else.
Yeah. It's quite amazing. But only, like, Singapore itself is so, I think it, you know, what's going on now in Southeast Asia is quite remarkable.
It's
and
amazing,
especially
isn't it?
In the food and beverage industry. So. You know, we'll see what happens, but first I want to focus on this place, and I want to try to achieve great things with this place, and we had a fantastic start.
So. It does sound like you've had an amazing start, because you've been raved about outside there, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
One thing I was going to ask you in all of that, but it's just escaped me. Oh, so how did you become a chef? Like, what was your passion? Was it just something, that's what I am going to do, or was it something that you knew you really wanted to do?
I knew that I wanted to be a chef from when I was 10 years old. And it sounds like, I don't know, it sounds very...
cliche.
Yeah, cliche. But actually, you know, it started with my grandmother. And, you know, I know that there's so many chefs that that
happy little put it story. Like that.
But
all
right. I'm not gonna lie. It's the
a
truth.
Deep, yeah.
So it started with my grandmother and of course with my mom as well. I have an uncle that is, what well, he was the innovative one. So my grandmother and mother did the basic stuff. And my uncle, he's a doctor, but he has food as a hobby. And I've been doing that for his entire life. And, you know, growing up and seeing him, you know, grilling whole animals and doing that kind of stuff, that
wow.
really, you know, it started very, very young for me.
That's so fantastic.
So for me, it's been no other thing than to become a chef. So.
And are your parents around?
No, they're back home in Stockholm. So
yep.
So that was a little bit of a
tricky.
You know, of course, I miss them. I'm far away from home,
and you're quite young still. So
yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how long I got to take. You know, year by year, but. I think I'm going to enjoy this very much. But my mom, especially my mom, she's a little bit sad. But
a bit sad, but a bit proud all at once.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, they can come out for a holiday anyway.
Of course.
Love to come and visit, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Hey, this is awesome. So gorgeous to meet you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Excellent. Bye.
Bye.
So we're talking about the bitters. Can you tell my listeners a little bit about these bitters that you were explaining to me? So there's not just Angostura bitters anymore.
Basically, when bitters first originated, it's supposed to be like everyone knew Angostura. So when you say the word bitters, everybody's like, oh, okay, Angostura. But like how bartending has evolved nowadays, so has bitters. Like you don't just have Angostura anymore. You have flavors from your normal chocolate, even berries. Even some things, you even have like such stuff like elderflower bitters or even like rhubarb bitters. Some even funnier ones, you have like watermelon bitters and everything. And most of it originated mostly from Italy. So, and a lot of people now are actually experimenting on their own and having like more like a, it's more personal now instead of, you know, getting from a supplier or from a shop, because it is not your own personal touch.
So why would you add your bitters to the drink?
Most of it like for cocktail wise, because if the drinks are too sweet, just to balance it off and to get your palate like not too
sickly, you know, sweet.
Yeah, sickly sweet or sickly sour, because certain drinks, especially creamier ones and the stronger in sweetness, you tend to get sick. What do you call it? In a way, like if you have a couple of sips,
yes,
then you don't feel like drinking anymore.
Yeah, so it's too rich.
Yep,
too
it's too rich. So the bitters actually balances it, evens it out. So you actually can sip and actually enjoy the drink throughout. So you call it a long drink.
Wow. So how long have you been a bartender?
Since I was 18 years of age. I'm 34 now, so it should be about 16.
Wow. And have you seen a massive change in that time?
A very big change, actually. Like you can see from bartending used to be very simple, a lot of classic cocktails and everything. But now you have stuff coming in like mixologies. So you have fresh ingredients from botanicals to fruits and even some, as you say, vegetables. Like the only vegetable cocktail which I used to know when I first learned was the Bloody Mary. But now you have so like a bigger variety and from different bars and from their own personal touch of individual bartenders.
Wow, that's amazing. So it's quite an art.
Yeah.
So do you enjoy that? Do you enjoy that it's kind of consistent learning?
Yes.
Keeps it a bit more interesting?
Yeah, because it never ends.
Yeah.
It's just like every single day, maybe like for example, like say for yourself, you come to the bar, you'll be like, I do like something like espresso martini, but I want it a bit more bitter. So it's just like an everyday new challenge. And so you have to like, okay, you try it out to see anything and please your guests as well.
How interesting. And where is your background? Were you born in Singapore?
Yes, I was born in Singapore. Yeah. Born and raised here.
So what inspired you to be a bartender?
Just the endless creativity to drinks. And like I was saying, bartending has evolved, especially when you it's different when you work in a club and it's different when you work in a restaurant, because in a restaurant you can actually pair your cocktails or you can use ingredients fresh from the kitchen or you can actually pair something which goes along well with desserts and food. Unlike yesteryears, which is just plain, okay, you just want to have a drink.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you're in a club, you're just churning out beers and yeah.
You're just chugging it down. You don't actually appreciate the bartender's art. And even in a way, like, you know, when it comes to pairing with food, the chef's work and the bartender's work at the same time.
How fantastic. It's great. It's been amazing to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for sharing a little bit of your knowledge on the podcast as well.
No worries.
Thank you. Bye. And now I'm going to take you and tuck you away in a tranquil little corner around the vibrant Duxton Hill, where I discovered the Latteria Mozzarella Bar, where they invite you to enjoy the most divine menu full of different mozzarella, and you sit under the stars and indulge in the most delicious, imported, gorgeous, fresh mozzarella in the heart of Singapore. Right, so we're at your amazing restaurant, the Mozzarella Bar, and I would love you to explain to us all this, because the whole starters is all mozzarellas, but they're all different.
Yes, indeed. These are all mozzarella cheeses that we import freshly from Italy twice a week. Obviously, different kind of mozzarella made with buffalo milk and with cow milk instead. The buffalo milk mozzarella come from Campania, close to Napoli. Actually, the area is called Caserta. And all the cow milk mozzarella instead, within, of course, the famous burrata, comes instead from Puglia, an area very close to Adria, close to Bari, let's say, in Puglia, which is the heel of the boots
of Italy,
which is the shape of Italy, right? So, as I was saying, probably the best seller, let's say, the most famous one is burrata, which I believe is more famous in Singapore than in Italy as well.
I think you're right. I've seen so many restaurants in Singapore with
even
burrata
French
on the menu.
Even French restaurant now. They are, I mean, and actually, I can tell you, I saw it in a Spanish restaurant as well. So that's not that crazy anyway, because at the end, we are still talking about Mediterranean cuisine, right? Mm. So I wouldn't be surprised to find it, for example, in a Turkish or in a Greek restaurant, as well as sometimes you find feta cheese, for example, in Italian cuisine, right? So nothing surprising. As I was saying, I mean, the best seller, definitely the burrata, which comes in two different sizes. The big one, which is a 300 grams of beautiful creamy cheese, very suitable for sharing, which is exactly our concept here, to share in the middle of the table, family style. And the smaller portion instead, which is 125 grams, that is a bit our signature, served with roast pumpkin and truffle sauce on the top. The stracciatella cheese, which is the inner part of the burrata, and in this case is served instead just plain, so without this bag of mozzarella containing it, right? And it's served either with roast zucchini and bottarga, dry fish eggs shaved on the top, or with eggplant caponata, which is instead a Sicilian specialty, and pine nuts on the top.
So the burrata... is because what is the difference between burrata and buffalo milk mozzarella?
Okay, the buffalo milk mozzarella is because it comes from buffalo milk.
Yes.
Burrata comes from cow milk instead.
Okay, so how is it different to the cow milk
indeed,
mozzarella?
Indeed, burrata is actually a bag of mozzarella, so it's made in the same way. But it is not a full mozzarella. It is actually a bag of mozzarella filled with this stracciatella cheese. Stracciatella cheese is nothing else than pieces of cow milk mozzarella and fresh cream. That's why the inner part of the burrata is actually that creamy.
Oh.
Stracciatella can be served, as I was saying, just
on
alone,
its own.
Right? So without on its own, that's correct, without this bag of mozzarella, right? And it's extremely soft and creamy and is a beautiful, beautiful cheese. Yeah. The buffalo milk mozzarella, we import it in a few different shapes and size. The classic 125 grams, the bocconcini, which are instead 50 grams only, of small bites of buffalo milk mozzarella, which we served, let's say, equatorial style with a fresh avocado, and deep fried instead, the breaded and deep fried in carrozza style with arrabbiata sauce, which is the one the gentleman is going to choose. And the trecia, the trecia, which is a breaded instead, a kind of... buffalo milk mozzarella, 250 grams, also in this case, nice to share. And the last one, still buffalo milk mozzarella, instead is a smoked cheese. You are maybe more used to see, like, for example, scamorza, smoked scamorza cheese.
Hanging.
Correct. It's the same procedure, let's say, but it's actually a buffalo milk mozzarella, which is then smoked and served with porcini mushroom. Very tasty.
One, because I would like to try that.
Yes, indeed. I will suggest you definitely to share it because it's, again, 250 grams of this mozzarella and very, very tasty, right? Yum. Because it's smoked. We do use some of these mozzarellas as well on our main courses.
Yeah, sure.
Since our concept is based on mozzarella cheese, that's why we call ourselves Latteria Mozzarella Bar, right? So, for example, the few of the specialties among the pasta, definitely the mac and cheese pasta, Latteria mac and cheese, which is served with fresh mozzarellas, not with just plain cheese. We use three kinds of mozzarella in this dish: the smoked mozzarella, the buffalo milk mozzarella, and the cow milk mozzarella. So
fine.
The pasta result extremely, you know, how to say, cheesy, right? But beautifully done. And the baked penne al telefono as well, with tomato sauce and buffalo milk mozzarella, and the porcini and burrata pasta bake, which is done with, also in this case, smoked and mozzarella and buffalo milk mozzarella.
Divine.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
I hope you enjoy.
Sounds delicious.
I hope you enjoy. And since I already did this job, I don't need to explain the menu anymore.
No, you do not. But tell me before you go, how long has this restaurant been in Singapore?
Okay, we are open. We are going to celebrate our fifth anniversary next week.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be a festival that will last 5 days, from Sunday the 3rd to Thursday the 7th.
Oh.
And we are going to serve actually a 5-course menu with wine pairing. And yep, so
Sad because I'll be back in New Zealand by
that's
then.
That's very sad. Okay, but I'm sure your friends they will come instead. And yes, it's 5 years old, actually 5.5, but it's after, let's say, 6 months, change a little bit the concept. So this concept takes exactly 5 years now.
Yeah, wow. Yep. That's amazing. And how about you? How long have you been in Singapore?
Exactly the same age, 5 years in this restaurant, 7 years in Singapore in total, but 5 years right here. So when the concept started this way, I was the one in charge.
You were part of it. Okay. Yeah, and where do you come from initially?
Northeast, Treviso.
Oh, Treviso, the home of tiramisu.
Indeed.
Except now that Italy has not.
Everybody knows Treviso for Prosecco, honestly.
Yeah, Prosecco and tiramisu. But the problem is now the government has said, sorry, it's not come from Treviso. It's from somewhere else.
Let's say that the government...
have made a mistake.
No. Somebody has claimed it, and the government are just investigating. They didn't say yet.
Or in the Australian papers, they said that it's already been taken away from Treviso.
No. They are just investigating. However, in Treviso, they are not giving...
No. It's also the home of Benetton.
Not even a thought about this, because the tiramisu, the way you know it, definitely comes from Treviso. Then there's... all over Italy, they serve tiramisu in different ways. So now the discussion is, who's done the first one?
Exactly.
Right? But the tiramisu, the way it's known all over the world, is definitely the one from Treviso, yeah.
Well, I love the place you come from.
Oh,
I have stayed there. It's an awesome place.
I just came back.
Home of Benetton, home of
yes.
Prosecco, and home of tiramisu.
Yes.
And a short train trip into Venice. Top
indeed,
spot.
Indeed.
I hope you had a lovely holiday back home.
I did. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for your time.
I appreciate that. Thanks a lot. And see you in New Zealand.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining me again on this episode, proudly brought to you by worldpodcast.com. And of course, me, Vanessa Baxter from The Fearless Kitchen. Don't forget, my awesome cookbook is now available and you can buy it online from www.thefearlesskitchen.co.nz. Yes, world postage is a pain and a nightmare, but hey, I am working out ways to be able to get this book to you no matter where you are in the world. So we will have success with that. Of course, if you're in New Zealand, super easy, straight into the post, beautifully signed by me and straight delivered to your door. It'll also make an awesome Christmas present. So don't forget to jump online, check it out. It's really helpful for me, obviously, if you do buy my book, but it's a win-win, guys, because it's a beautiful book full of over 85 recipes, all really simple and easy, but with fresh inspiration. And of course, lush pictures, which will entice you to cook from scratch every day. Thanks again. Bye for now.
The Fearless Kitchen Podcast.